So Hope College, what's going on? All right. Y'all gonna make me get weepy. So Jesus is on the throne. So I have my friend Sam Tilden here. Y'all give it up for Sam. He is, because he's a little tall, he's on JV basketball. He's from Zealand. Represent Zealand, any? All right. A few. Zealand, and he is undeclared, and he's going to read our scripture this morning.
All right. So we'll be reading from the book of Isaiah in verse 40, and we'll go 6 through 8. So it reads, "A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever."
Amen. That's the word of the Lord. Thanks, man. Praise the Lord. A grandson of slaves, for 42 years, the pastor of Brooklyn, New York's Concord Baptist Church, Gardner Calvin Taylor, at age 96, went home to be with the Lord in 2015. Once asked how many points a sermon should have, he replied, "At least one." Here's my one point. If you profess Jesus Christ, if you profess him as Lord and Savior, you have no authoritative rule of faith but the Bible. The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, John Calvin's Institutes of Christian Religion, Red Azalea by Anchi Min, The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald, The Street by Anne Petrie, Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen, Uncle Tom's Cabin by Harriet Beecher Stowe, St. Benedict's The Rule of St. Benedict, The Color Purple by Alice Walker, 20 Love Poems and A Song of Despair by Pablo Neruda, Confessions by St. Augustine, Chino Achebe's Things Fall Apart, I Am Not Your Negro by James Baldwin, Olive Kitteridge by Elizabeth Strout. These are but a mere sample of praiseworthy books full of insight and inquiry and creative commentary and depth. It goes without saying, then, that reading some of these in your lifetime is advisable. But just so that you're not disenchanted, know that they do not represent definitive truth or instruction. They are good, maybe great, some of them, yet fully incomplete. Probing and provocative, yet powerless, they will fade. In a society like ours that's as transitional, as toxic and topsy-turvy, it's especially exciting to hear that the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Every other word that was or is or will be can only exist in submission to that word. Any words that contradict this word, God's word, must be evicted, because in the end, they'll only lead to the robbery and death and destruction of our precious souls. This word, God's word, is unparalleled. It's without rival, and it's more potent than we believe. We forget that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the B-I-B-L-E, clothed in flesh. Maybe you noticed that in verse 6, you and I, puny human beings, are called grassy by God through the prophet Isaiah. Not the most flattering description for sure, but it's accurate. The dependability of human beings is like that of fading flowers in the field. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, it's gone. It's gone with the wind, and in the blink of an eye, it's a distant memory. We do not mean well, and we are not well. We do not mean well, and we are not well. As he has through eternity, God wants to speak to us. God has spoken to us, but we're not listening because we've got beef that is a problem with the B-I-B-L-E. We want it to accommodate or make affirmative space for our sin. And because it does not, we either don't read it, right? Or we read it, but we don't believe it, right? Or we read it and we believe it, but just kind of, sort of, like maybe on a good day, hoping that it will massage our emotions and excuse sin-sick flesh. By the way, the Bible describes this as being a lover of oneself. In short, holding to the outward form of godliness, but denying its power. A time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine. And while I cannot definitively confirm that we are in that moment, such a conclusion would be far above my pay grade. We might as well tell the truth and shame the devil and admit that we in Christ have a problem. We have a problem with the Word because the Word has a problem with us thinking that we are smarter than it. I'm going to rewind that. We have a problem with the Word because the Word has a problem with us thinking that we are smarter than it. And if smarter than it, then smarter than God. But do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For you reap whatsoever. Y'all say that with me. Whatsoever.
Whatsoever.
You sow. The Bible says to love your enemies. That don't mean I want to. The Bible says not to forsake the assembly of believers. But that sure enough don't mean I like being around believers all the time. It instructs me to return to God a small, small percentage, it's called a tithe, of the income that he's already given me, but that don't mean it's fun. It calls me to define myself on its terms, God's terms, and not my own, but that doesn't mean I have to like it. It just means I gotta do it if I'm following the maker of heaven and earth. If Christ be my portion, if Christ is really the provider for me, if Christ is who he says he is, he calls me to live a holy life before a holy God, empowered by his Holy Spirit, but that doesn't mean I always want to. I don't always want to, but I got to. If not discerning, it's easy to become a prisoner or an intellectual person who's on a hamster wheel that goes around and around and around, perhaps creating a lot of commotion and noise, but producing no fruit. All people are grass, finite and fickle, with an unknown yet predetermined expiration date. Yes, one day you and I will spoil on the shelf of life. We will not withstand the test of time, but the Word of God will. So should we choose to believe that Jesus is a fence whose perimeter patrol knows no bounds, the Bible's authority must be a non-negotiable reality for us. If, if we choose to walk with God. Though we may not understand every single component of it, it's a simple book. So simple that some people in the U.S. once considered subhuman property by those professing to have a monopoly on this book, they would steal away. There's a song called Steal. They would steal away and they would sing to the God that the book testifies to. Maybe y'all don't understand. I know it's a simple book because people with my chocolatey pigmentation were once legally prohibited from reading. Not it, but any book. And even at the threat of death, and many of them did die, they learned how to read. Most often than not by beginning with that book. Y'all don't feel me. You do not understand. They read the book. And not only that, they read the book like it was no other book. This B-I-B-L-E. It was their book. They were God's people. They're rocking with Jesus. Even more than that, many of them, countless men and women, boys and girls, lost their very lives seeking to live out this book. They weren't moved by convenient theatrics or a privileged, entitled theology. These Christ followers survived by, come on now, eating the book. Since faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, I'm just going to leave you with one question. If you don't read the book, please, please tell me how you gonna know God. Go in peace.